everybody. This is Brad Smith.
This is Becky Harrington Davis.
Julia Lunetta.
And this is a commentary for episode 104, Come Down. And today is September 3rd, 2020.
Whatever this says. Well, hello, Jareth.
Come down. Hello. Oh, wait.
So let's turn it off a bit.
Do not marah me, Fesmer. This has been long in coming. Your abuse of OD is criminal.
I really like this particular scene, because this is one of the first places where Jareth... You really got some insight into Jareth's character, because he is still a hard ass, but he actually makes a good case for why he's kind of freaking out about all this.
He plays a militaristic game called football. He is merely stronger than most. His abilities are hardly unnatural. Surely you can see that.
I find the idea of football being used as a justification.
We cannot know that these people are everything they say. We should not risk ourselves any more than duty requires. Look to your work here at Zana's. You have been neglecting it since they arrived. And keep your illegal spellcasting to yourself, as you once did. Surely you recall what happened with your first spell.
Of course, Jareth. How could I forget?
You killed the neighbor's cat by turning its blood to poison.
I thought it was a different spell. I meant
I was hoping to turn its blood to jelly. Delicious
and
jelly.
And even then I shielded you from suspicion,
yes,
as I continue to do.
Vomiting everywhere when you try to eat that cat's blood. I thought you'd learn then. But no.
So we were trying to remember where exactly we recorded this episode. For episodes 4 and 5, at the beginning of the show, we didn't have a specific recording location.
Well, for the first few episodes, we recorded at Jamspot.
For the first couple, we did.
Yeah.
And then for 4 or 5, we went to this place where we can't remember the name, but it was very cool, and it had a really nice rug, and I remember because I was taking my shoes off and feeling my toes in the rug, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I want to say, like, White Owl or something.
Yeah,
I
really don't know what it was called, but it was this professional place. We all had our own headphones while we were recording, which we never do now, so it was really cool at the time. And it was, we did the zombie noises.
Let us forbid that we take action. Let us simply sit around and complain.
The next episode, at the end of this one, that is not what I meant.
Someone needs to. As a fun fact, I totally don't remember this. Maybe I remember. Maybe I recorded separately. Maybe I went over to Andrew's and recorded separately. But
yeah.
I have absolutely no recollection of this place.
Yeah, it's really weird. I feel like you had to be there, but maybe you weren't somehow. If so, that would have been our first async episode.
Well,
right.
Something is happening, and I am sorry, say that again? New friends
have if you weren't there, not, then this would be our first caution, episode that we did async.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
And for 1, 2, and 3, we certainly didn't. Right.
And you know, we did. We definitely didn't do any async for the first few episodes, and this was still when Andrew, the guy who plays Fesmer, was doing post production on everything.
Hey, I think I made that clang sound. I did. I totally made that clang sound in my kitchen. I threw a pot on the floor. I remember. It was fun.
We had a lot of DIY sound effects.
It was really
fun. First season. Oh, there are some ones that are a lot of fun to make.
I forget which episode it was, but there was one that there was a sizzling noise in the background that I remember was made by frying a wet paper towel in my kitchen.
I remember you said
yes,
that was like my classic.
I wasn't there, but I remember that.
That was the first episode.
Was it the very first? Okay.
Yes, we all went over to your place.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Was in your kitchen. Yeah.
Well, my old place now, but yeah.
Yeah. We all went over to your place, and we were looking around, going through the list of effects that we needed, and we needed some dripping for Dramer, so we were playing with the faucet, and then we needed stuff frying, and the only thing we had to fry was a paper towel.
It's high in fiber.
It smelled great.
I'm sure it did.
Oh, I think we just had the first mention of Fulstropos.
Yes.
Who, comes in later.
There are a couple of important minor characters that show up for the first time in this episode. We'll see another one a little bit later on.
Well, yeah, Fesmer earlier called back to Kyleb, who we knock over in the very first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I forget when he shows up later.
Yeah, well, he shows up again in the finale, at least.
The season, for first season, yeah.
To exactly, I cannot say. It is just,
but, you know, actually, I gotta say, if this was done asynchronously, honestly, I have no recollection of recording this, but if it was done asynchronously, I'm actually pretty impressed. I mean, I think the dialogue in this scene comes across pretty naturally.
So, I'm not necessarily implying anything. Just give it some thought. Good luck with your classes.
Thank you. I will see you tomorrow, most likely.
Sure. Later.
And now after
yes?
that big...
later. Oh, Builana, Zana.
Oh, Jared.
Now after that big diatribe, this is the bit, first bit, where Jareth's being asked to teach Shauna.
Mike is aiding Phesma today. I must deliver my mind to university's general education requirement.
I'm not pretentious!
Come on, we're in Boston. That's low-level pretension at best. Absolutely not.
Therefore, you cannot shame me for shirking my duties. And here's the absolutely not.
Jareth works here for free?
I am an old friend of Jareth's family. He possesses a very strong sense of duty and honor.
Plus, you helped Phesma out after his father and brother were...
Yes, there is that as well. They have been great
friends. What? What?
You'll never know.
I also have many photos of him in compromising positions.
I'm sorry, are we talking about Jareth or Phesma at this point? Or both?
Well, what makes you think they're not together?
Sow's milk.
The Slash Writers go wild.
That is your choice, but you would be depriving you.
Speaking of which, Slash Writers, where are you guys? I haven't seen any Slash Writers. Second shift characters, get on that. Come on. That's when we will have really arrived. Exactly.
Okay, keep up. You are being outpaced by an old woman.
We've got quasi-slashy drawings by a 12-year-old girl. I think that's the closest thing that we've gotten.
That's a good first step.
We've got the Jareth Phesmer BFF drawing.
Yes.
Yeah, weren't they like ice skating or something?
Yes.
Yes, they were.
Jareth's holding Phesmer up. It's adorable. Oh,
it really is cute.
And Umbra. How did we get that awesome goat noise?
Oh, well, that was me.
Uncredited, actually.
Was it uncredited?
That's yeah, I don't think you've ever been credited as Umbra.
Until now.
It has been revealed.
This is
now
the stuff you'll
you
learn by listening to the commentary,
that
people.
Was me.
Becky / Shauna / Umbra.
/ Tyler.
/ Tyler.
That's right. I'm so
she is a girl, a boy, and a goat, all in one.
Seriously. That's kind of really
one of the most versatile actresses of our age.
Exactly. That's the sort of, you know, multi-talentedness that's required of all people in Second Shift.
Cool. Are you still in a delivery
says
service,
the harpy.
You know, back in Boston?
Yes,
Antonopoulos.
Sorry, that sounded snarky. That was actually meant to support your point.
Oh, sorry, you were being sincere. I just wasn't used to it.
Whenever we picked up the phone.
That is the limit of my expressive abilities.
I should probably say this for next season when I think it's happened, but there was a rehearsal a few months ago where we had an extra who, Kara, I forget which part she played. But,
wait. Speaking of callbacks to earlier episodes, here is the Flaming Football Calzone.
I kind of forgot about it.
Sorry, just had to point that out.
Oh, that's
meaning,
a good point.
Reference to the pilot, yes?
Yes.
I was yelling at Mike.
Mr. Flaming Football Calzone.
Yeah, and I had no idea what that meant at the time, and I thought I was just making things up, and so it had a dash at the end of the script, and what I actually said was something like, Flaming Football Calzone Pizza, but that didn't really make sense now that I found out the story. But at the time, I thought it was just nonsense.
Yep.
Sorry, Fez. Come back, Umbra.
And there's the goat.
Indeed.
So you guys were...
Oh, anyway, so yeah, speaking of the harpy and stuff like that, I take personal pride in the fact that we had a rehearsal at one point with an extra who hadn't... who was new to the internal workings of the show. And there was a scene involving the harpy. And so I break into the harpy voice, and she flips out like, oh my god, I thought that was all done in post! So, you know, I can't actually sound like that for short periods of time, and then I need to, you know...
The only thing that's added to the harpy in post is reverb because she's far speaking.
Yeah,
that's the only thing we do to the harpy in post around.
Didn't we have all these auditions to see who would play the harpy too?
We did.
We
the,
totally
the first choice, as I understand it, was actually Zach, the guy who plays the baker in episode 1-8.
Really?
Because he had the death metal voice, and people initially liked that. And then
wait, so it was gonna be like Shauna, bro.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, geez.
And then the writers, I guess, sort of just decided they liked my one better. I mean, they could probably tell the story. But they're not here, so it's my job.
I remember.
No, they're here. They're just passed out over in the corner.
Well, I mean, you know, here physically as opposed to sort of, you know.
Spiritually.
Yeah. That came out wrong. Backwards.
Oh, that's funny.
The tequila's kicking in, what can I say?
Well, yes. By that she means Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Yes.
Laced with tequila. Hard coffee.
That's right. That sounds... Okay. There's some money in that.
What's the magic part do, though? Is something going to blow up?
America runs and falls down on Dunkin' Donuts.
I had the feeling about you, Kate.
Ah, and another thing that shows up that figures prominently later.
You can't really miss with magic bows, can you?
Catherine and her bow. Yeah. We never really got a lot. That's another thing I would be interested in hearing from the writers about. Is we never.
Who gives you good advice? It is up to you.
Catherine's got this magic bow, and there's not a whole lot of mileage she gets out of it.
Well, later in this episode, she gets some mileage out of it.
I think Andrea wanted.
You're right. She's gonna have Undying.
I think Andrea originally wanted it to be like a much bigger deal.
Well, there was something in 108 that, you know, I suppose we can probably mention again in that commentary, where Andrea wanted a thing where what was it? Where Catherine would shoot her bow into the side of a door, not like the wide side, but like the thin side, and thus prevent it from closing, so that she and Archon could, like, get into Chianti's house.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. I think the writers just sort of decided they didn't like that and cut it out, but...
Yeah.
It's very visual. What are they going to do, like...
In a visual medium, that would have been pretty cool.
Look, Archon, I just shot my bow into the...
That was quite impressive, Kate. How did you shoot that arrow directly into the side of the door?
Yeah, and not the wide side, but the thin side.
Yes. Which is much more challenging.
Why do I have to goat set Umbra while you make deliveries? I mean,
wait, did that sound like why do I have to goat set Umbra to anybody else?
Sometimes talking to them is the key to finding.
Is that redundant?
There's other things you can do to goats besides sup.
I'll take your word on that, Brad.
Oh, I know. I'm well acquainted with all the things you can do to goats.
Got you bad, huh? I won't say a thing.
Yep. Would many
impositions of power would like that time you turned that goat's blood to hot.
So?
Sorry.
Chocolate.
What?
I don't know. I was going to say blood to sex, but at the last minute I decided that was kind of wrong, and I tried to save it, and I failed.
It doesn't make any sense.
I failed.
Improv career's on fire!
Yep.
Be congratulating me.
I fear things are not so simple, Mike.
But you hate Legionnaires.
Very much so, yes.
So, beating them up is a good
Where did we
thing,
get that
yeah?
squeaky
Let me attempt
wheel
to explain this. The Orange Legion is not the army it once was.
I think that might be one that we got off of the internet or something instead of making.
You think so?
No, I think somebody made it. It never sounded quite right to me.
I wonder if I made it. I remember trying to make
well,
it.
What about them?
Legionnaires have their Wallora.
Did they have a sound effect a little while ago about throwing a bunch of things onto a cart, too?
Oh, yeah, throwing the loading the pies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I made that.
You did? Yeah. I guess I'm wrong. I thought I did. What's the one I made?
Maybe we each made one and
we might have
one of ours got used. Because, yeah, I did the same thing. I think mine was, like, binders being dropped onto a... or maybe I had actual pie. I might have gone all out and gotten actual pie tins for that.
Are you serious?
I don't know. But I remember recording dropping something onto my kitchen table
right.
for that.
That's why you called us here, with your spell.
Where did we get that magic wheel? I feel like I might have made it, because it sounds
and you
really
called somebody
familiar.
Who could help
like
you, since Jared
I definitely was making a lot of sound effects.
Dude, don't lie to me. You summoned help, and you got us. Well, you got me anyway, but I'm plenty.
I can't
Let's pop some magical caps
though.
Into this Auron guy, and this weird dream game thing will be over.
Well, I would not lie to you.
There is explicit exposition about what brought people there. Yes, there.
I alone do not have the ability to pull three people against their will to Lundi from another world.
And yet, the larger mystery is
another, a much greater one.
So who cast it?
Someone with much power beyond anything I've ever seen. Someone who may not be pleased to learn I interfered with their plans. If any of my friends are hurt as a result of my actions, I will.
The interesting thing is here, I mean, that is why we must practice. We all know.
Okay.
Right. What that? But I hope you know this is what like that bigger spell he's talking about.
Requests
was.
And saying no to it over and over again. Story's not
and I
start.
Think
start
enough
yes.
hints have been. Right I think enough hints have been dropped to say that it's all there in the show. But the I'm kind of curious how obvious it is to the casual listener. I guess that is for you, the casual listener, to decide.
Yeah. Hey, sign up on our forums. Post your wild, crazy theories.
Remember, you are Meek, a mute friend of a family. Who is now under Zana's employ.
I'll give you a hint. It's not all in the head of Tommy Westfall. But other than that, you're on your own.
Let us go.
And if you don't actually have my reference,
So there. Is there any way we could get a second shift to... Yes, because Mike makes so many pop culture references, second shift has got to be sucked into the Saint Elsewhere effect.
He's aware of them. Well, actually, if I remember correctly, on some charts I've seen, they include cops. And cops, in theory, happens in reality, so reality is inside the head of Tommy Westfall.
Right. You should explain this phenomenon.
All right, well...
You introduced me.
I did? Really?
Yes, I'd never heard of this before.
All right. So, basically, there's this show in the 80s, Saint Elsewhere. It was like ER before ER was ER. People who don't necessarily watch TV or aren't familiar with Western culture, or American culture, rather. It's a hospital drama, basically. Focusing on the doctors and occasionally the patients and things like that. And it ran for a number of years. And at the end of the show, I forget exactly how this happened because I didn't actually watch it, but I've heard of it. It was revealed that the entire show, for however many seasons it ran, were all in the mind of this autistic kid named Tommy Westfall. And then someone many years later went through and figured out, basically, okay, if Saint Elsewhere was all in the head of Tommy Westfall, then all of the shows that did crossovers with Saint Elsewhere are also all in the head of Tommy Westfall. And then when, all the shows, those shows did crossovers with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And you get stuff like Happy Days.
Oh, wow.
I think The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Cops, The Drew Carey Show. I mean, I don't remember all these offhand, but it's really amazing. It shows, I don't know, I mean, if anything, it just shows how incestuous TV is oftenly.
Yeah.
Oftenly. Wow.
Sorry, it's something to say.
Oh, hey. No, it's actually about the show. Wow.
The show, yeah.
Wait, really?
do we dare?
Oh, that's what's going on in my headphones. Sorry, I thought we were sitting around talking.
So, this is your big scene.
Yeah,
right
this
now,
is the two of us were just talking. Yeah, but it was right? A very
small rock. I'm talking over my own scene.
A couple minutes ago, I said something like, we went flying all the way across the pond, and I remember when I was doing that, when I was recording it, I had to keep doing it louder. Because your reaction, I think, was like, shh, quiet down, or something like that. I forget. Or maybe it was Anna's, I don't remember now. But,
I'll be in the kitchen.
But I had to do it like three or four times because I wasn't getting excited enough and I had to get louder and louder and louder through my little story of magic doing.
Right. Yeah. Oh, well, actually, this is the, I remember having a discussion with the writers before I'd seen any scripts for this episode about this scene where Archon is confiding in Zana that... being jealous, so, yes, essentially, of no Shauna's abilities and things like that.
Right.
And, because I remember wondering, I wasn't really sure where Archon fit into sort of the social fabric of the show in just the first couple episodes. And it was sort of like, friends of Fesmer, et cetera, but I wasn't really sure where it was going. And, so there's mentioned that, this scene was coming up and explained that it would sort of give additional emotional depth to the character.
Yeah, this is your first, important scene.
They are your employees and disciples. They're Fesmer's closest friend.
In fact, the scene is actually about Archon saying, well, what's my place here?
Tell me, Sinjin, what they are not.
They are not you, Archon.
But what I am is no longer of use. I am attuned, but Shay is more so. I am Fesmer's close friend, but Meek is closer. And it is the same for Jareth and Kaith. There is no longer a place.
This is cool, too. This is the first time we got to, really hear you act for real. Because the first couple episodes, you didn't get to do it.
I feel that you have remained here because you do not know where else to go.
I have remained here because I have chosen to.
Actually, I just realized that the thing, talking about Jareth and Kaith, I didn't even realize it actually foreshadows the thing that we sort of mention every so often, that Archon had a crush on Jareth. Or, I suppose at this point, kind of still does.
Yes.
She denies it like crazy, but, especially in the Arisia episode, or the episode at Arisia that was sort of 111.5, it was made pretty explicit.
Just now, I gifted my bow to Kaith.
What?! The Botargonon I gifted to you! Your most treasured possession! That bow?
Possessions are not what I treasure, Archon.
Everybody's uprooting Archon.
Well, in this case, under the circumstances, I really sympathize with Archon. I mean, especially... Okay, Zana is kind of eccentric. But her just giving away her bow and things like that, I can see this being just so much for Archon to cope with.
So how long have the Earth people been there at this point? It's like 2 days, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's 2 days, maybe 3 days.
No more than a week, I think.
Yeah, it's no more than a week, so it really is kind of insane.
Yeah, you know, these strange people show up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they're everybody's best friend, except for Archon.
Not mine!
Well, you have Kaith, or Jareth has Kaith. Well, Kaith has Jareth. I don't know if it's mutual.
I guess Jareth is kind of crushing on Kaith at this point, yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna run out of
Jareth being all, you know, nerd love.
Against the ceiling. Your kitchen's kind of a mess, sorry.
Hey, I just
You're too powerful.
What do you mean?
That is why you're lifting them too much without effort. The tone of your mantra channels the force with which you draw upon Odi. You are channeling as much as you can every time. Try again, but softer, more measured.
Oh, okay. Work, stupid magic, lift. Oh, hey, cool.
And you may want to select a different mantra.
I don't know.
There was no spell casty sound there.
What? I just heard it. It was
whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh,
thank
you. I guess I haven't.
No, there should have been a spell whoosh there, I think. Oh, well.
Yeah, because there was a second ago when I splattered it.
Yeah.
And then there was none. That's kind
of weird.
Yeah, we might not have formalized at that point that was the sound of a Shauna spell being cast.
Yeah, in fact, this may have been... Yeah, I think it's probably just about the first time that Sean was casting things.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, I imagine we hadn't quite figured that out yet.
We hadn't really settled that, I think, because in the first episode, I think each spell has sort of a different sound, but it's still a casting sound, and later on in the series, except for when Shauna casts something, because Shauna is special, spells always, you know, fire makes a flamey sound, and the sound of the spell is completely dependent upon what the spell is doing.
So...
Yeah, so it made perfect sense at the time.
So I've never known mistake how on our part. To make any of the casting sounds. I've never made any, so you've made them from scratch, right?
I have made a couple of them. The Shauna casting sound, I have absolutely no idea how Andrew made that. That was all Andrew, and Andrew is way better at
by speaking directly to Fostropos.
Well, you clearly weren't going to follow up on the adventure.
The only ones that I've made have been basically make a funny sound with your mouth and then put it through as many effects as you can throw at
it. Yeah, I had no idea where any
That is my official technical advice to the aspiring fantasy audio people out there.
Yeah, at the beginning we had no idea, you know, what we were going to do for magic sounds. We had to kind of wing it.
Yeah.
It's like nothing but woods. It's on a shop.
Yeah, basically, if it's a natural sound like fire, you know, find sound of fire, obviously. And if it's something, if it's something that's just magical, then make a funny noise and run it through a bunch of effects, reverb and wah wah and that kind of stuff.
Life sentient.
I'm just going to assume that sentient isn't a bad word. Hey, Fez, you smell that?
My name has not been Fez for many years. It is Fezmer.
Okay.
Fez, do you smell that?
That was another... I really like the fact that things like the names were in use and canonical way before we explained it. Because that didn't... The way names work don't get explained until episode 10, or maybe 11, I think. Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting. The names?
Mike. Yeah.
Like, the syllables?
Yeah, the syllables.
Oh, that's really interesting, because
oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
I was just looking through the answers. That's really funny. I was just looking through the outline for this episode, the original outline on the wiki, and Andrea had said something that about how she wanted the name thing explained in this episode.
Well, make it magical.
And so, or maybe it was in episode 3 that she said it. And so it's very interesting that that didn't end up making it in until much later.
Steve Archer's boy doesn't run away.
Yeah, apparently that got punted to later on, but it's always been, that's one of the things that's been a part of the universe concept since very early on in Andrea's process,
right.
I think.
Right, even if we didn't.
Undying?
Well, give me your sword, then. You can take him out with ranged spells, and I'll fight off any that gets close.
This sword is not for fighting.
Well,
we
what
must
was that?
Run, Mike.
What's wrong with the sword?
What was that old name for Archon? Was it Archon that had a different name?
Arcady.
Do anything. It is
Arcady, oh, yeah. And so...
It's a fashion statement.
I don't... At that point, she hadn't come up with the whole noble thing yet.
Mike, if you're ever going to take things seriously, let it be now. I beg of you.
So did she change it to Archon because of that? I don't know if she did or not, or if that was just... I think she might have changed it because she thought of the whole syllable.
Mike seems to be this very divisive character. Like, people seem to either really like Mike, or he just absolutely annoys the heck out of everybody. I gotta say, I understand the arguments that people who find Mike annoying, and I have to be clear, since the actor's name is Mike, too, I'm talking about the characters.
Nothing else.
Well, I understand the arguments of the people who find him annoying. I actually really... I've secretly wanted to play Mike since I first read the scripts. I think he's a fantastically fun character, and I love how... I like the fact that he's matured so, especially if you listen to him in second season. He's really had a major arc as a character.
Fesmer as well.
Right now, when he's so excited and talking about everything in RPG terminology, I just... He's sort of the geek hook for the show.
Well, it's like the
unless you count Cave live action.
Yeah, but she doesn't own it. Mike owns it. I mean, Mike is totally
Mike lives it.
Mike is totally like the audience insertion character for our geek fan contingent.
Mike's got the geek life tattoo across.
Well, what I always think is fun is that when we do rehearsals and read throughs, if Mike isn't there, sometimes Brad will pick up. Just mine the and Mike I lines, you know, just from read through skipping. And I always and think that's wicked fun because you do such a good job.
Oh, cool.
Like, such a natural fit. And I love it. It's so funny. It really is.
Yeah, especially because you're totally not a geek otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really? You've already learned magic? Well, yeah. Observe.
He is, and so anybody who knows him would be laughing hysterically right now. Just
work stupid magic. Yeah, first thing I thought of. Apparently, it's a big deal
that I can do this so soon. That is another one of my favorite things about the series. Work stupid magic is just such a it says so much about the style of the show. That ends up being Shauna's mantra, and then it stays that way.
Now it's hard to imagine in the other way.
Yeah.
Well, try something else.
I really like that a lot.
Something else you feel very strongly about?
I call on you, sweet caffeinated coffee. Push!
Someone to find a Ben and Jerry's.
Shut up, look at you. You've never touched a spoonful in your life.
It's called high metabolism. Look it up, sorcerer.
It's called full of crap.
By Catherine's skinny lies, I summon a fattening pint. And nothing.
Ah, well, work stupid magic it is. Does have a certain ring to it. What's with all those bells?
Yeah, little known fact that all the ice cream trucks in Lundy actually sound like that. The alarm bells. So the spell was actually working, they just didn't. It was just a really bad time.
That's why the Undying were so tough. They were all buzzed on sugar.
Yeah.
Actually, the fact that I couldn't summon anything such as that kind of shows that you can't get things out of nowhere.
Well, you didn't do work stupid magic for that, did you?
I didn't, no. But I think it's part of the magic concept that we have, that we can't do stuff out of nowhere like that. Just like, you can't go poof and something would appear.
You'd like shift ice cream from Boston and just a whole bunch of drumsticks disappear from the freezer.
I'd probably go for Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, well, that you know, the higher, the more power you put into the spell, the higher quality ice cream you get.
Oh, yeah, that works.
So, you know, if you were just kind of feeling lazy about it, you might get, like, a couple bomb pops or something.
How secure is your ward thing?
It will repel several undying, but if any sense to you, more than several will attempt entry. My heart only contains so much power. You have it a bow, okay?
Yeah.
And Che, you are not exhausted from today's magic use?
No, I guess not. I don't know.
Are you in, Archon?
Yes, I'm bolting the door.
So there's two entrances?
Yes, but we will be warded in, and the magic that keeps the cellar closed should sufficiently mask our presence. You see, undying must have cause to attempt violent entry, and we have done nothing to give them cause.
Hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
God, I hope Mike and Fesmer are okay.
This is what happened in the second one. The show gets interesting. We have to stop listening to it.
Yeah.
This whole bit, like basically from here through the first 10 or 15 minutes of the next episode, is one of my favorite chunks of the series. Andrew did just a fantastic job on the production. The acting and writing are great.
This is the first time we were like, oh my god, this show sounds so cool.
Yeah, oh man, I remember... For this episode, and even more, well, I'll save that for when we do the next episode. But yeah, I remember that growing sense as we were reading through scripts. Because at that point, the writers were turning out a new script every week or so, I think, or every couple of weeks. And with every new script is just this growing awareness that we were making something that was really pretty darn cool.
Crazy son bitch. We're just coming in our strike. We went into this and we started the whole show.
We got away with saying bitch. I didn't know we were able to.
We did,
and
yeah.
Crap.
We've done it a couple times.
Crap is one thing. I'm actually surprised. Andrea is very, very serious, except for a couple of instances.
Except for when
it's
warranted. When she feels that it's really warranted.
Yeah.
We've done it a couple times, I think. Like maybe three total.
I think somebody said...
I think I say bitch in episode 6, don't I?
Yeah. Now, Andrea has explicitly said that she's going to go through these commentaries and bleep them, so now I wonder if she's going to bleep that.
Yeah, we can say bitch in the episode, but not in the commentaries.
But not in the commentaries. Because, you know, then it's actually us, and we have to prove that we're respectable people. You know?
Right. Well, and
we don't have artistic license.
It's not necessarily warranted for us to say bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, never warned.
Most commentaries are uncensored in most media. I think it would be fair.
Bonus features unrated.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. I will do what I can, but it will not be enough. Do we get to put the parental discretion advice thing in front of the commentaries?
What? You mean I can't kill them?
They're called undying for a reason, Keith. Oh!
Finally!
Me!
Do you think any kids have ever listened to commentaries anyway? I got me some zombies
to kill. Here, well, I don't know. You say that, and of course, now we're going to get, you know, anger email from...
Yeah.
Or... There they are. Mike, how did you get here?
Were you outside this whole time? Answer any questions later. Clear the door. Boom.
Hot tamale. Sweet. Spell bomb. And another for good measure.
That was a funny sound. That should keep him away long enough for me to get
to the roof. Yeah, again, I'm not sure how those were made.
Be back in a minute.
Oh, Mike, you idiot! Mike, get back!
Mike's delivery of that line,
back in a minute.
The back in a minute bit is just so fantastic. And Catherine's "I hate you so much" response. I mean,
as if Zana didn't already own me.
Mike, you are the biggest idiot in the world.
There's so much great chemistry in the way that these scenes play out.
Wouldn't dream of it. So, how do we get to the roof?
My room has a roof window. Wait, why do we need to get to the roof?
For purposes of smiting the unholy from above? Obviously. Hey, you brought a bow. Any good with it?
You could say that.
Here we go. Ooh, mama.
Always modest, Catherine is.
This is not one of your best ideas, and
even your best ideas. Speak like Yoda always.
Nice, that took out like 6. Let's try for 7.
I think maybe this qualifies as something.
Combo.
There was a plan once upon a time for a game based on this that Lexia was working on. I think that never managed to materialize.
Yeah, we actually recorded a bunch of stuff for it. We should try.
Actually, that's true. Oh, hey, that could be another bonus feature.
It's true.
Really?
It's
true.
We
was at your grandma's house.
Lexi's grandma's.
Oh, it was at Lexi's grandma's house.
Yeah, that was fun too.
Yeah, I know we got together and recorded that.
We were making up random stuff. We were kind of improvising.
Yeah,
it was good stuff.
Yeah, that was.
Try to find that.
Oh yeah, remember what happened though? It was like we never used it because the recording was all weird. We had some recording issues.
Yeah.
It came out bad.
No, you're thinking of I think it's 206.
Really?
206?
I'm sorry, 106. It's the episode where Jareth and Sean are actually doing their
Thug.
And we worked. we went through so many attempts at getting that.
Thank you for listening.
And another famous, another great first for the series, us being horribly, horribly mean to our listeners.
Yay!
A proud tradition we've continued to this day. But no, we went through so many different things trying to get that thud sound just right.
Oh, really?
Because I think that was one of the first sound effects that I made and submitted for the series. Because we went through, I basically went through every vegetable in my refrigerator, hitting it with every hittable thing that I had in my kitchen. And
your roommate's supposed to love you.
For more information, please go to our website. Well, there's a reason I've made an effort to get all my housemates into the show, so they put up with us being there.
All right, we should wrap up for this episode.
Yep.
We will see you again next time.
Yep.
Thanks for listening.
Time for the bloopers!
Oh, yeah, bloopers.
Hard, actually, once you click into the right mindset. I mean, it did take me a couple of tries, just this hour of the... Sorry.
What do you want?
Oh, this took Mike so long.
Except, don't laugh.
This Mike trying to fall off a roof and finding it too funny.
Yeah.
There were actually a lot more than just that, I think.
Oh, there always are. We just have always picked the best ones.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
All right, so that's it. All right, everybody. Signing off.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Gracie.